Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show, hour number two. We get all three today after yesterday was cut short with some hoops, but we go all the way till 7 o'clock tonight. Right, Anthony? All the way till 7 o'clock tonight?
Yes, we do.
All right, excellent. Love that. And 5 o'clock means it's time for Not My Beat. And on Tuesdays, holy potatoes, everybody, it's Mitch Tischler.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Mitchell was down there in Tampa, of course, and now is with us here on the Hoffman Show. Mitchell, still basking in the glory, and did they let you on the pirate ship second time around this season?
You know what? They didn't let me on the pirate ship the first time around, and quite frankly, I'm happy that we're never going to have to hear those dang cannons again, because those things are quite annoying, to say the least. But basking in the win is a good way to put it. Maybe trying to recover from the win is a second way of putting it. But by Saturday night, man, I can't wait for what this place is going to look like, what Lions Stadium is going to look like, and what the Commanders team is going to look like.
So the atmosphere in Tampa, definitely electric, but there was a ton of Commanders fans. I don't think that will be the case in Detroit on Saturday night. As someone who goes to every game, like, what's the toughest environment you think that they have played in so far this year, and how prepared do you think they are for, pun intended, the Lions' Den?
I very much appreciate the pun. What's the toughest environment they played in this year? Probably the Monday night game against the Bengals. I mean, that was a wounded franchise, a wounded team that was trying to get back. And obviously, primetime has been quite a difficult place for old school Washington teams of yore. But I think that was the toughest one. But quite frankly, having a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, I think, almost makes you environment proof, if you will. You know, Ford Field is incredibly loud, and we were blast there in, 22 for the game. And, you know, JP Finley and I sat next to each other in the press box. And by the end of the game, my voice sounded like it does today, because you have to yell at each other next to each other to hear it. However, when you look at Jaden Daniels and his history and all the big games and big environments that he played in college, you know, there's nothing that the NFL is going to throw at him that he hasn't already seen before. You know, Bama, LSU, Saturday night, you know, in Tuscaloosa, there's few environments in any sport that would match that. And so when you talk about kind of the environment and the noise being an issue, certainly it's something that you need to contend with. But when you have a guy who's kind of been there, done that, particularly when it's the quarterback, because on the offensive side is really where that usually manifests itself, I think that you can dismiss it as a little bit less of an overall issue.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And Mitchell, for me, sitting on the outside, this is the ultimate house money game. Like, they've won a playoff game. They've broken that streak. They're already so far beyond the expectations that anybody reasonably had for them. And I typically hate the, like, oh, they got nothing to lose. They got the same thing in front of them as the Lions, theoretically. Like, they got the same opponents potentially on the way to the Super Bowl. Of course, Washington will have to do it all on the road. Detroit would be able to do it at home. But, you know, we know that's not how human psychology works. Like, emotionally, the Lions are the favorite here. But Do you think that there's any leaning into that in Ashburn in that locker room, or is everyone kind of on the page that Dan Quinn said that they were on last week? And maybe it's different this week versus last week. The Bucks, who they had already gone toe-to-toe with this year and felt very much like they could beat in this newer, better version of themselves versus a Lions team that's been the best team in the sport this year. But like, do they kind of look at this as house money, playing free, whatever, or do they put the pressure on themselves of like, no, we belong here? And is that how they kind of tackle the psychology of playing in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's the pressure of it necessarily, but you know, there's a lot of different sayings that Dan Quinn has, and they, you know, they use them in different ways. And one of the ones we've seen all year has been anytime, any place, anyone. And something that they had up on the big board today was they have to go through us. And I just thought that was a really good kind of mental space for them to be in. Like, yeah, the Lions are on paper the better team, but once you get to the playoffs and you end up in this situation, you know, I think you need to stop playing this, you know, underdog attitude and be confident in who you are. And I think that's what you're seeing out of Dan Quinn. He's instilling this, you know, we belong here. This isn't, you know, this isn't just by chance. You guys worked your butts off to get to this point, and quite frankly, it's on them to beat us, not us to beat them. And I really like that attitude. And kind of one place where I see that, you know, that sort of attitude can kind of help, you know, buoy this team is just flat first quarter stats. The Commanders are third in the NFL in points in the first quarter. Detroit is middle of the NFL. They're 13th. If you're able to get out ahead of this team and you force Jared Goff, put a little pressure on him, you know, have to throw the ball a lot, you know, let that D-line pin back their ears a little bit. You know, there are very direct game scripts where you can look at this as, okay, if Washington does A, B, and C, they're going to win this football game. And despite being 9.5, 10-point underdogs, whatever, you know, the folks in the desert have them pegged at, you know, Jaden Daniels, to me, is the best quarterback in the NFC that is left. And as we know, this is a quarterback league, and anytime you got JD5 on the field, you have a chance to win.
No, I love that. It's one thing for, you know, pundits. I remember one of the first segments we ever did on the show because someone said something that got under my skin, and I was like, I'm nipping this in the bud now. And I was like, there's a difference in punditry and participation. Well, the attitude I have as a pundit, as someone who has no control over the outcome, is very different than the attitude that I want the participants to have if I have a rooting interest. And as a pundit, someone sitting outside, it's like, yeah, of course they're playing with house money. Whatever happens, like, I will deem this season a success. For them on the inside to have that mentality of they have to go through us is awesome. Like, that's one that any coach should stick in their back pocket if they ever get in this situation. As for the actual on the field element of it, though, beyond the psychology, there's no doubt the best defense for Washington this week is to do exactly what they did against Tampa and control the ball, dominate time of possession, just not let this Detroit offense that's super potent on the field. How confident are you that they can do that again, whether it is the same way without a running game or that they can get the running game going against a Detroit defense that's not as good as Tampa is up the middle?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, you have to look at some of those Detroit defensive stats and recognize that early on in games all season long, they have gotten up by double digits by the middle of the second quarter and force teams to get into a negative game script. So their run defensive numbers are going to look very, very good. Also, obviously, Aiden Hutchinson, one of the best defensive ends, you know, pass rushers in the NFL, not just pass rushers, but defensive ends, isn't there anymore. I do think that the run game should have an opportunity to be a little bit more successful. But ultimately, I think you're going to be looking at two coaches that are both going to be coaching in very similar ways. I mean, both teams are very aggressive on fourth down. Both teams really like to control the ball, control time of possession, but do so in a relatively unconventional way. And I think as you look at, you know, the way that Washington wants to control the ball, you know, they should be able to act very similarly to the way they did in Tampa. And honestly, from a defensive perspective, I like the idea of a team going for fourth down on it, you know, fairly often with me, especially with a immobile quarterback who's not going to really give you a dual threat option. I think that gives you a chance to get the ball in plus territory, you know, multiple times a game, and it doesn't have to get every stop on fourth down. but you know, one or two big stops, and that's going to turn the tide of this football game.
It definitely could. And something else that I thought was interesting from the Tampa game that I wonder how this carries over against Detroit is, while the Commanders gave up some drives, they often got things to third and long. And unfortunately, they gave up a couple of those. The most notable being that 3rd and 9 Baker Mayfield scramble at the end of the first half that turns into a touchdown drive. And you're like, God, they barely had the ball in the second quarter. And now we're sitting here tied at halftime. That's annoying. All you need to do is get a stop and you get the ball to start the second half. But there's a lot of 3rd and 9s in the game. There's 3rd and 9, 3rd and 7. Like, there's a lot of that. And for Dan Quinn or Dan Campbell, who are ultra aggressive going for it on 4th down, nobody more so than Campbell, he's not going to go for it at his own 35 if it's 4th and 9. If it's 4th and 2, he might. But I think that is something where Washington's defense at times this year has been really good at, yeah, we'll give up a couple of first downs within a drive, but then we ultimately do get the sack or the tackle for loss or something that's a negative play or a stuff type of play that does create a late down, 3rd or 4th and long. And if they can just do that, then they stem some of the aggressiveness from Campbell. And Bowles just, I don't think he would have gone for it anyway. That's not who Todd Bowles is, and that's one of the complaints they have in Tampa. But it did limit his opportunities to do the thing that Dan Quinn did, which was go for it on a 4th and 5 or shorter 5 times in the game.
Right. And I think, you know, as you look, as you talk about some of those negative plays, I think you have to look a lot in the run game for some of those negative plays. And I know Jahmyr Gibbs is this explosive running back who's extremely difficult to take down. But if you can, he has shown himself to be vulnerable to being strung out to the outside and not quite, to continue kind of going east to west instead of north to south. And one of the things that I liked that I saw last week that they, one of the adjustments they made with Bucky Irving was putting Daron Payne or John Allen in those defensive end positions and having a little bit of a bigger body to kind of set that edge. And I think that's something that they can use as a point of emphasis to keep kind of stringing out those runs and allow their linebackers and their safeties to get up on them. Quite frankly, I worry about the passing game. I think, you know, kind of across the board between Jahmyr Gibbs, Laporta, Jameson Williams, I think, is going to be a real problem downfield for these guys. And obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown is just a tactician as a route runner. I think the negative plays in the passing game are going to be kind of few and far between, but I do like kind of putting that ball in Jared Goff's hands and not letting him just turn around and hand it off and letting the ground game control things.
So what was said at postgame about Marshawn Lattimore? Mitch Tischler is with us, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast. Of course, he was in Tampa. He's at every single game. You can listen to him and JP Finley on the Beltway Football Podcast multiple times a week on demand, wherever you get your pods. And he's with us every Tuesday during the season here on the Hoffman Show. For the Lattimore part of it, I think this week is interesting because Williams and St. Brown are equally dangerous in very different ways. And how you deploy Lattimore is an interesting choice. You know, the choice to play man coverage period this week could be a very interesting choice. But what was said after the game about the day that Marshawn had with the penalties, with the catches given up to Mike Evans, where he clearly did not look like his dominant self, but that's on some level, I guess, to be expected coming off as long of a layoff as he had.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it would be silly for the Bucs to not challenge a corner, any corner, forget the history, forget the names, who has missed most of the season with, you know, hamstring injuries and is getting out there for just a second time in whatever it's been, 7 weeks. So I think that's kind of going to be a theme as we go through this. And I know that folks want to call him a lemon and think that, you know, he's automatically a bad trade. Like, the dude's been fighting an injury, hasn't been on the field much. You know, I think that some struggles should be expected, though obviously you hope not. Post-game, I got to be honest, the Marshawn Lattimore storyline didn't really pop for me. There wasn't a lot of conversation about, you know, the fact that he didn't have as good of a day. You know, one thing that I would point out from it and that I like, you know, we talked about it with, like, Adam Peters when he drafted Trey Lance in San Fran, and that didn't work out, and they were able to kind of work their way, get away from it before it, you know, was it before it was detrimental to the team as a whole. I liked what you saw from Joe Witt, where clearly it wasn't working out. You know, they pulled him out. He turned out to not be an every down corner, and they kind of worked him in, you know, with the other guys. And I think that's an important part of what has made this coaching staff successful, is that they're able to identify the guys that can help them immediately, the guys that can help them midterm and long term, and they don't put too much pressure on anyone to step in and be, you know, the one solo savior on either side of the ball.
I think that's a great point. St. Jude's played a lot in that second half, and especially once they got down in the red zone the second time, in part because I think some of the communications and things that maybe Lattimore wasn't as fresh on. Your red zone coverages are a little bit different. Like, let's get a guy in here that's not going to mess up from a communication standpoint. And, you know, Juice did a good enough job. Obviously, there's some other issues in the secondary, but that's because playing secondary in the NFL is really hard. On the offensive side of the ball, last thing for you, Mitch. Detroit is ultra aggressive defensively. That is who they've been. Dan Campbell has probably my favorite quote of any coach this season. In one of his locker room speeches, he just goes, "It doesn't matter who puts on our uniform. Like, we don't change who we are." And that, I was like, that should not be the case, but it is. Like, they are fast, they are physical, they fly around. We know that they are understaffed, though, because of all these injuries. But with kind of their current state of their roster and how much man they play, how aggressive they are, does Washington try to counterpunch with some big swings, be more explosive, and push the ball down the field? Or do you think that they have to fight that temptation and stay patient and kind of matriculate the ball the way that they did against Tampa, where they had 5, 10-plus play drives and were able to control the ball like we talked about a little earlier?
A big part that's been missing in this offense that was super successful earlier in the season was kind of the short passing game to running backs. And I think a lot of that comes from Austin Eckler missing the 4 games with the concussion, and he had obviously the concussion earlier in the season. We saw it a little bit last week in Tampa. I think they also used that screen game to Deami Brown extremely well, and it's interesting to see Deami kind of be successful in that kind of role, because kind of the knock on him early in his career was he shied away from contact a little bit. But I think with the aggressiveness that you're going to see out of Detroit, particularly the fact that they're going to be playing man a lot, I look for a lot of those screen passes, whether they're out to wide receivers or kind of quick little dump offs to running backs, to be a big part of what can make them successful. Now, the Lions getting back Alex Anzalone in the middle of their defense is tough for Washington, because that guy is really good in those situations. But ultimately, with the pressures that they're going to bring, you know, I think a lot of football teams get caught up with Jaden being a rookie quarterback and want to try and hit him with these exotic blitzes and odd views and looks and different things. And that's something that Jaden has shown to be very, very good at diagnosing and then taking advantage of. And so while I expect the Lions to bring some different looks his way, I think he has a real opportunity to hit some of those screens either to the outside or in the middle of the field.
Mitch Tischler with us here on the Hoffman Show. You can catch the Beltway Football Podcast multiple times per week on demand. Plus, post-game live, they'll be in Detroit on the Monumental Sports app after the game on Saturday night. And then, Mitchell, we will talk to you next Tuesday. Recover, my friend. How happy are you about this being a Saturday game, considering what your voice sounds like on a Tuesday right now? Getting that Sunday to hopefully relax a little bit.
You know what? Like Dan Quinn says, anytime, any place, anywhere, you get this team into the playoffs, I'm going to be happy to talk so I have nothing left to give.
And hey, well, let's shut it down now, since you have more to give to the pod and to anyone else who wants to talk to you. We appreciate your service here to the Hoffman Show, my friend.
Let's hope we're yelling holy potatoes at the end of the night on Saturday.
Indeed, holy potatoes to you. And to all. Thanks, Mitchell. I'll see you. That's Mitch Tischler with us here on the Hoffman Show. Holy potatoes. I have to eat some really hot chicken wings coming up in about 20 minutes. Competition Wednesday on a Tuesday, because Anthony's out tomorrow. Plus, it's the Commanders Wednesday today anyway, so it kind of works out. Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels spoke today. You'll hear from them coming up at 6 p.m. But next, Let's talk a little bit more about this Commanders run game. Is Brian Robinson actually a problem? Is it something else? Like, what happened against Tampa, and can they get it turned around against Detroit? Logan Paulson, I made him answer all of those questions, and you'll hear those answers next on a Take Command Tuesday on the Hoffman Show. All right, coming up in 15 minutes, I'm going to eat some very hot chicken wings as punishment for losing Competition Wednesday. We'll also pick the upcoming games this weekend. Anthony's last day in the office this week. So we're going to do that coming up. Anthony actually is in when we go hit play on what we're about to play for you. He's going to have to go pick up those chicken wings, I do believe. Are you going to get them or am I going to get them?
That's a great question.
I guess I should probably go get them. They're my wings. I lost. Why should you have to go get him just because you're the producer of the show? Feels like a very producer-y type of task, but like, if something goes haywire with the buttons, you should be here. And I lost, so I'll go get my own damn wings. And then I gotta open up the sauces and the whole deal, and we'll get them ready. And it's gonna be very hot onesie, more hot onesie than we initially anticipated when we came up with this whole silly thing. But that's coming up at 5:45. Right now, though. Normally, this is when we do Take Command Tape Tuesday on Jaden Daniels. But the way that we did Take Command this week in our film review, we used the 17-play drive that crossed from the end of the first into the start of the second quarter by Washington as a way to talk about a bunch of different stuff in the game. And it took us a very long time to do. So if you want to hear that and the breakdown of Jaden, how great he was and all of that, you're just going to have to listen to the podcast this week. I'm so sorry to do that to you, but it's very easy to do. Just search Take Command wherever you get your podcast, and you can get in painstaking detail everything about that drive and how it also kind of illuminated some other things that Washington did well in the game. Then we got into a very nuts and bolts, much more simple discussion about the run game. We're going to play that for you now. We also talked about the defense. That's in the full podcast. But without further ado, Take Command style, here is Logan and I talking about the Commanders' run game, what didn't go well against Tampa, and what they hope to turn around against Detroit. Take Command podcast, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. The run game was the one thing in this game, Logan, that did not go well for them offensively. They were able to overcome it. Five drives of 10-plus plays. They averaged only 2.5 a carry. And that, by the way, their longest run of the day was a 12-yarder that wasn't even really a run. It was a lateral to Austin Eckler that we talked about on that big, long 17-play drive that kind of presents more as a pass play screen, but it goes down in the stat book as a run. Yet they managed to get 35 minutes time of possession and all that great stuff. But you want to be able to run the football. Like, you don't want to have to win this way. Cliff was asked a couple weeks ago, can you win without running the ball? And he was like, yeah, we can, which I thought was a baller answer from Cliff to be like, yeah, my rookie quarterback is good enough to we don't need a running game, but like, you don't want to. So what can they do to get this running game going, / what were the issues that prevented it from getting going against Tampa?
Shoot, I mean, I think we talked about in the preview show quite a bit, you know, like, Tampa's good at stopping the run. They want to stop the run. They're motivated to do that. The way they play their defense is designed to do that. So it was going to be tough. Like, we knew from the jump it was going to be tough. So obviously playing Detroit, because that's fresh in my mind, they're not as good, right? They don't have the same type of personnel up front. They don't have three first-round draft picks playing defensive line. They don't have a Hall of Fame linebacker back there. They got some good ones, you know what I mean? But they don't have the same level of skill. They're still good, don't get me wrong, but I think even that kind of stuff is helpful. Like, look at Tennessee, right? How they were able to run the football versus Tennessee, or even at times versus New Orleans. Like, New Orleans is a bad example, but Tennessee is a good one, right? Like, that's a good front, but you're just able to kind of find opportunities, get in a rhythm, and the game plan hits. And I think that's something I see as a possibility versus Detroit. Again, you got to work at it, got to scheme it up, got to make it happen. But when you watch Tampa, like, from the second I watched the film, the first 10 run clips, I was like, tough sledding. And it was, right? Because they're big, they're physical, they're fast up front, they know what they're doing. And so that's part of it. Also, like, the style of runs, how you want to get to it. But my question to you, Craig, and to the fans really, is if it's going to be hard, if it's going to be inefficient, if we're going to have to pour a lot of time and sweat equity into being good at running the football, when I can just call a screen or I can call an RPO, why invest all these man hours and all this time in the week against something that is going to be really hard to do when these other things are better options for me. And I really felt like that's, again, we talked about how people were locked in on the screen game. They know where they're going to. They're locked in on the RPO stuff. They're locked in on the choice routes. They're locked in on the motions and the shifts. Like, you lose some of that putting more time into the run game. And I kind of liked that they went the other way here, which, again, is people say, well, you can't do both. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough time in the week to be excellent at both things. And I think they kind of said, hey, we're going to do what we do in the run game. It's not going to be great, but we have these other things to kind of offset some of that. And I think that was ultimately the right decision because they won the game.
I think it's 100% correct. But I also think that Kliff did something really, really smart in this game, which was he found a way to stay balanced, because that other stuff starts to dissipate if the other team is like, they've abandoned the run. We don't have to worry about it.
That's a great
point.
But
because they were really, really efficient on the other stuff, they were able to run the football really ineffectively without a whole lot of penalty. And what I mean by that is, okay, let's get 7 yards on first down with a quick game. Let's get it with the screen. Let's get it with something else. And then it's second and three. Then it's second and three. Well, now we can run, you know, our GT, we can run duo, we can run inside zone. It can get 0 yards and it's third and three. And it's not that it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter as much as if we did that on second and seven and now it's third and long. And so they stayed out of a ton of third and longs, despite the fact that they couldn't run the football, but they also stayed balanced. And so Tampa had to worry about everything at all times, kind of stay true to the, we're not going to give up anything in the run mentality. And that left those other options open. And sometimes it was a first down screen. Sometimes they'd run the ball on first down and then be able to get to third and short on second down. But they were just, whether it was so confident, so effective, whatever, maybe both, probably one has to do with the other, of that if we get a no gain run, we're fine. And there weren't in this game any real, like, I don't remember writing down like second and 15 at all. Like, they stayed out of those really, really bad down and distances by Jaden not taking sacks, by not having a lot of penalties in this game. Like, they did a really good job of staying on schedule, which is how they were able to achieve something, time of possession dominance, that is normally achieved through the run game, and balance, which obviously has to involve the run game, without actually being good at running the football at all. And I think that's a formula that they can slash should try to repeat at Detroit if they're not going to be good running the football. But obviously, hopefully, just the step down at defense is good enough to have a little bit more efficacy running the football.
No, I think that's a fantastic point. I mean, that's exactly right. And I think when you're looking at this game compared to maybe like the Atlanta Falcons game, like, they just didn't take penalties. There weren't a lot of pre-snap penalties. There weren't a lot of sacks. And we talked about the importance of little decisions in terms of staying on schedule. That's one, but also just playing clean football. And a lot of teams play this bend but don't break style of defense because they expect you to have something negative happen. You have a holding call, you have false start, you have to take a sack, you muff, you have a bad handoff, right? You have a run for a 0 yard gain. And they really didn't do any of that stuff. Even though the runs were bad, they weren't negative runs, which were important, right? And to the balance point you just made. So, and we've made this point before on this show, but I think when they do these, when they go on these really long drives, it's so rare to see that with the consistency that they've done it, especially the last couple of weeks. And I think it's just, again, a testament to how well coached they are, how well they understand the game plan. And it does let them maintain this semblance of balance and force the defense to attack and be aware of different things, which is extremely important. So, yes, I think you hit that exactly right. And it's just, the question then becomes is, can you do that consistently moving forward versus better football teams? You know, because again, in this game, you get a holding call on one of these drives, one of these long drives, and you're probably punting the football in three downs, which is kind of a tough arrow or tough, you know, thread to throw or whatever.
Yeah. By the way, in NFL history, there have been three instances of a team having zero turnovers and zero punts in a game by a rookie quarterback. Jaden Daniels week two, Jaden Daniels week three, Jaden Daniels in the playoffs against Tampa. That's it.
Crazy.
That's the list. We did make fun of Tress Way on the show yesterday, Michael Phillips and I on the radio show, because it's like, why are you even there? Tress, I apologize. You did do a great job holding.
Did a great job.
All jokes aside, B-Rob, where are we at on him? He averages 1.6 a carry. We talked in that drive how some of these looks are really, really tough. But do they need to take a look at
finding a way to keep Chris Rodriguez active and letting him run the football, because, you know, obviously this is going on a month here where Brian Robinson has not been very effective. But is that just is that a victim of circumstance?
I think it's a victim of circumstance. I think, you know, obviously, yes, I think it's a victim of circumstance. And like, could you bring Chris Rodriguez and give him more carries? Yes. Is it different, or is there a value add over B-Rob? I'm not sure. And I think one of the things I just point to is running back success is so strongly correlated to offensive line success. And this offensive line, we've talked about ad nauseum how much we like them, how they did a great job in pass blocking situations. But there are times like where it's like you got to run the football and you can't. Like watching Detroit, for example, their offensive line's excellent. And when you got to run the football, they're going to run the football. They're going to win physically one-on-ones. They're going to sink double teams. They're going to move people off the spot. And they're going to be really aggressive with that kind of stuff. This group is not built that same way, right? And I think that's something that, again, it leads to muddy and cloudy looks at times. And I think that's part of the issue that you're seeing with B-Rob the last couple of weeks, is people have kind of tuned in to what Cliff wants to do. And as a result, they've kind of adjusted their game plans a little bit. And as a result, you see a lot more free runners in the hole, a lot of messy looks, a lot of blitz looks, a lot of line stunts to take away some of that zone read stuff. And as a result, you've stressed the offensive line even more because the movement and the pre-snap stuff that's going on. And also you've just presented different things for the running back to deal with. So again, I don't think it's B-Rob's fault. I think it's a lot of just defenses getting wise. And hopefully, like you said, you find a wrinkle. Like again, versus Atlanta, they were able to find a couple wrinkles where he's able to get some gashes and look like B-Rob from earlier in the season. But I think for fans, it's important to understand, like, he has not been getting clean looks. And that's a little bit on the offensive line, it's a little bit on him, but it's also, I think, defense is just adjusting to what they've been doing offensively from a run game standpoint.
Yeah, I'd be open to it if you can make the roster mechanics work, because Chris really effective. But like, is it worth whatever other moves you have to make? That I don't know. I'd have to look at it deeper. And perhaps we will on Thursday, because that's our preview show. But we're running out of time, and we want to talk about the defense a little bit. So continuing forward we go.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, and we're living dangerously because it is time for Competition Wednesday. Competition Wednesday this week on a Tuesday, because Anthony is going to be out this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so we had to do this before he left, and this is... This is going to be painful for me potentially in a couple of ways. Because one, Anthony, let's quickly run through the results of last week. Then we will make our picks for divisional wildcard weekend. And before I make each pick, I'm going to have to eat some of the wings that folks on YouTube can now see. I created a wing cam over here. And yes, that is Ninja Napalm. One of the sauces from Hot Ones that is considered a, let's see, where do they have their heat scale? I believe this is a 7 out of 10. These are both sauces that have appeared before Da Bomb. So they're 7th out of 10 sauces on Hot Ones. And so that's this group of wings right here. And then over here, I have, this one says 4 out of 5 heat. So this is Ginger Goat Tropic Star. It has mango, lemongrass, and star anise in it. So I'm going to eat before making one of my picks a wing out of one of these, and then a wing out of the other before making my second pick, because there's only 4 games this weekend, Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
There was some blue cheese over here. I'm lactose intolerant. That's not going to help me. So this is what I get for losing multiple weeks of hot wings being the punishment on the wheel of death that's over there. It's actually the wheel of mediocre punishment. They call them the wings of death on Hot Ones, Anthony. So the good thing is I'm not getting to the death part. The part where everyone dies is the wings that are after this. The Da Bomb, which is just a terrible sauce that is both hot and has no redeeming culinary qualities. Compared, you know, everyone who eats it is like, this tastes like garbage and it's melting my face. Nor the two sauces beyond that. So I think I'm going to be okay. I've been enjoying one that's a 5 out of 10 at home, but who knows just how much extra heat we're going to get here. But Anthony, I actually have more bad news for me first. Last week's results.
Oh, man. Don't tell me you went 0-for again.
Anthony, I did, which you shouldn't even get to celebrate because you went 1-2. We were terrible on the games that we picked, which is hilarious because I think I might, had I picked your games, I think I would have done better picking your games, and I don't know how it would have gone if we flipped. But okay, you got the first pick, and you were able to ultimately set kind of the slate here.
Well, boo-hoo, Craig. You lost again.
Had I picked your games, just based off of what I did on the Monday show, I think I would have went 2-1. But alas, I went 0-3 because I had the Chargers -3. They lost outright. I had Pittsburgh covering 9.5. They didn't do that, right? Nope. They
lost by 14.
They lost by 14. You had the Chargers covering. You had Denver covering as well. So you started 0-2. I had Pittsburgh, and then... Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, Anthony, I might have this backwards. Because I... No, we actually tied. I take that back. We tied. Oh!
Where's the tiebreaker?
We didn't have a tiebreaker.
Ah!
Because it's the playoffs. Oh, my God. Okay, I feel better now. A little bit.
How do we tie?
So, you had the Chargers -3. That's 0-1. I had Pittsburgh +9.5. Denver +8.5 for you. You then had Philly -4.5. So you got the Philly game right.
Yes,
I got Washington right. And then I lost on Minnesota last night. Had Minnesota won, I would have gone 2-1. But Minnesota got whacked. And thus, that brings us to divisional weekend, where there are 4 games. I need to get a line for the... Actually, I need to just pull it up, the lines for all of these. But Anthony, because you won most recently when we didn't tie, you get first pick.
First pick, I'm going to take the Ravens over the Bills. I think the Ravens are going to win this game by more than one. So give me the Ravens, -1.
Okay, simple enough. Anthony's just going for the big game right off the bat. Baltimore -1. All right, hold on. I have too many things open at this point. Okay. Competition Wednesday. Baltimore -1. Okay. Should I eat a ninja napalm or a ginger goat first? I think ginger, I don't know. They're both potentially pretty intense.
I think you should do the napalm one because I think that's the one I smell. Like, I smell the wings through the glass.
Yeah, I think it's that one. All right. Bon appetit, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Ninja napalm.
It goes Craig. Good gracious, Craig. You took a vicious bite, man.
That's hot.
It's hot?
It tastes good, but that's hot.
I think you're turning a
little red. I'm starting
to
sweat immediately. That's good, though. Buddy, I'm hungry.
I hope you have your taste buds intact after you finish these wings. And I think you are hungry because you're not taking any prisoners, Craig. You are doing the damn thing over there. You are crushing, my sir.
I'm going home later this week to see my parents and making my father proud. Not leaving meat on this, but that's actually more than I normally would. But I'm on camera right now. I'm not gonna be a savage.
Ah,
that's hot. I've got some feeling to it. I'm definitely sweating.
Hey, yo, this is actually hilarious.
What's my heart rate right now? There's no chance. Man, my heart rate's at 90 right now.
Let's see how you do, man.
That's got some smoke, boys and girls. Whoo, it is. It continues to grow. All right.
Would you like some water?
I have some. I'm just going to be a boss. Kansas City -7.5. I think Houston's terrible. I know what they did last week. Good gracious. I know what they did last week. I know their defense is really good. But Mahomes won't make some of the same mistakes that Herbert did. I think Kansas City's offense has actually turned a corner. Give me the Chiefs -7.5. Anthony, your pick. Okay, I lied. I'm going to take a little bit of water.
You're struggling over there. I see it.
I still have to do a radio show. I could be a hard ass about it. I'm going to be a hard ass about it. I'm putting the cap back on my water.
Okay, Crit. Yeah.
Anthony, make your pick.
All right.
Are you going Washington?
This next game.
Are you going Philly and the Rams?
I think I'm going to take the Commanders to cover the minus 10, Craig. Minus 10 is crazy.
That's an enormous number. That's a stupid.
Did it open up as a 21 point favorite?
No, not 21.
Oh, that was fake. Okay, I thought I read some fake news then. It probably was.
You must have read some fake news. It was 8.5 earlier in the week. I picked him to cover on Monday at 8.5. I'd definitely take 10. Why is this getting hotter as I talk?
Dude, my eyes are like burning over here because of, I guess, how strong it is.
I definitely put a fair amount of sauce on that wing, too. I sauce these things proper. All right, so I've got, well, first I have to eat one of these ginger goat wings.
Oh, yeah.
Bon appetit, everybody.
Woo! I hope this one calms you down a little bit.
Also, I just realized that you haven't been on the screen, so I apologize to everyone who wants to see Anthony. We're back on the screen now. Right. Ginger goat is the flavor. It's apparently 4 out of 5 on the little flame scale. And then I'm going to pick a football game.
It goes nothing, man. This guy is over here. He's been a trooper. He hasn't drank any water. He doesn't have any sauce like ranch or blue cheese because he's lactose. So he's short on that. But man, how's that one? Is it bad? Is it as bad as the napalm?
It's hot. That's a delicious flavor. I did bring fries. So like, I did get fries. That way I can eat some of those, and thus I'm not going to be messed up for the rest of the show. But although Anthony like suddenly answered the phone, I'm like, is there a medic calling? What caused Anthony to just go answer the phone? All right, since Anthony can't talk into a microphone, one of us has to. I'm going to take the Rams to cover 6.5. Oh, there it goes. Now we're getting some real heat. I'm going to take 6.5 is a big number. I know it's a shorter week for the Rams, but the one thing, this could go either way, because I actually think that the Rams pass rush could negate some of the offensive line play of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
There's also a chance that it goes the other way around, that the Eagles' offensive line negates the Rams' pass rush, making their defense kind of useless. And then what can they do defensively? Or what can they do offensively to try to keep up with Philly? I would say the other part of this, sorry, I have sauce on my lips, which is what I was actually really afraid of. Got to make sure I don't get anything in my eyes. What was I saying? I understand hot ones on a fundamental level now that I did not.
You were
before.
Talking about.
Trenches. The Rams. So the Rams are fine just throwing the ball underneath to Puka all day and let him run over people. The Eagles want you to throw it short. So that's a fun. Like, this game is a very, very fun chess match. And Sean has struggled against Vic Fangio in the past. So definitely going to be interesting. Okay. I did it. Those are our picks. I'm going to finish these chicken wings. I'm going to eat some of these fries to, cool down, if you will. But I'm gonna eat one more each of each wing. Anthony, you want to try some?
No.
Fine.
Well, how's the garlic? I'm not trying the napalm one, because that one looks insanely hot.
This one I don't feel like was as hot, and it was deliciously flavorful.
I might go with the garlic one. I'm not going.
It's
with
not. It's not garlic though. It's ginger curry.
Oh, ginger curry goat,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's ginger. Ginger goat is the flavor. It's really good. But anyway, I'm gonna keep eating wings, and then when we get back, you're gonna hear from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. So that's that, and hopefully next time, Anthony has to spin that wheel and do something dumb, because I'm glad it was entertaining. This is exactly what I had in mind. I will say, like I'm hurting a little bit, but this is a mediocre punishment. I'm sweating, definitely hard to think straight, but it was hopefully still entertaining. And if it wasn't, at least you're not eating very, very hot wings, and your lips aren't on fire, and you still have an hour of radio to do. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app.